Okay, Rabotai, tonight is Wednesday evening, December the 21st, or Chof Aleph Kislev. This is the Women's Mishnah Shir. We are in the middle of Masechet Brachot, the middle of the fourth Mishnah, looking on a Sugya Adaf Yud Bet Amud Aleph. Some of you missed the Shir, it's online now, you can download it. Every week, they post every one of the weekly shiurim, Monday, the Gemara Shir, the two Wednesday shiurim online, you can download it, no problem. The www.basemedrashofburtoncounty.org. Yeah, it's going to be in the weekly brief also. BNBC, right, BNBC.org. BC.org. And you'll see a picture of all the any Maggid Shir, and you hit the picture and you get any of the Shirim. Yeah. So like thousands of Shirim already posted. It started in Reno about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. Okay, Rabbi Tai. The last Mishnah that we had seen focused on that Birchot Shema, one is supposed to go ahead and recite two brachot before the Shema, one after the Shema in the morning, two brachot before the Shema at night, two after the Shema at night. Then last week we looked at the Gemara's comment on one of the brachot, namely the bracha of Ahava Rabbah, and how it plays a role as one of your Birchot HaKorah. But if you daven shacharit and you recognize that I omitted, I forgot to say Birchot HaKorah, and now you daven Ahava Rabbah in the morning, that you do not say Birchot HaKorah. And then we looked at Tosafot and explored the issue of Birchot HaKorah in great detail. One of the people who contributed to the discussion was Rav Chinina Barav. He contributed to this discussion. Now the Gemara has a pattern that whenever you have an Amoraic sage who is not quoted very often in the Talmud, so when they mention one of his statements, they often bring down a collection of many of his other statements in the Talmud. For after all, they didn't have the written text at that time. Everything was studied orally. So by way of free association, and as a way to remember things, if they quoted an Amoraic sage who was not quoted that frequently, they also decided to quote other things that he may have said on a particular topic. So this Gemara, which we're going to begin with tonight, is also in the name of Rav Chinina Sava Barav, the elder Rav Chinina, and it has nothing to do with the topic that we've been studying, namely Birchot Shema, but it's an important topic in and of itself, and it follows on the footsteps of the previous Gemara that we had learned, and for this reason we will learn it this evening. It's on the top of the page, and I had mercy on a tree, and that's why I omitted the previous page. We said just his name. Amar Alkinah Asamava, and the word Kol. So you can put in on the top, you can write in the name of the author of the statement, Amar Alkinah Asamava, and you put the word Kol in, and now I save the tree from being knocked down and, you know, wasting another tree. So the Gemara says, Kol Hashana Kula Adam Mitpalel Ha'el HaKadosh Melech Ohei Tzidacha U'Mishpat. The entire year, the appropriate text for the third bracha of the Shemona Esrei and the 12th bracha of the Shemona Esrei, its conclusion is Ha'el HaKadosh, and the conclusion of Hashiva Shoteinu is Melech Ohei Tzidacha U'Mishpat. Chutz, with the exception, Me'asara yamim shebein Rosh Hashanah v'yom HaKippurim, with the exception of the 10 days of penitence, shemitpalel hamelech hakadosh v'hamelech hamishpat. Then we conclude this text, Baruch Atah Hashem hamelech hakadosh, and Baruch Ata Hashem Hamelech HaMishpat. Fine. Rabbi Elazar Omar, Afilu Omar Ha'el HaKadosh Yatsa. That if you actually concluded, even during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur, or any of the intermediary days, and you did not say Hamelech HaKadosh, but you concluded the bracha in its normal fashion, Ha'el HaKadosh, says Rabbi Elazar, you are Yotzei the bracha. We don't pass to Michael, but he says you are Yotzei. Shine Emar, because the pasuk says we include this pasuk in our davening, Vayitzbach Hashem Tzvaot Bamishpat, God is uplifted by his commitment to Mishpat, particularly during these days. And the end of the pasuk reads, the Ho'el HaKadosh Mikdash Vistakar, and Ho'el HaKadosh, the Holy God, will be sanctified by his commitment to Tzedek, to a sense of righteousness. Tzedakah doesn't mean charity, it means Tzedek, by his commitment to justice. That's why it's an appropriate phrase for these times, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in Tzedek and Mishpat. Elu asara yam eimatai vayitba Hashem tzvaot b'mishpat. When is God exalted by his commitment to Mishpat, rather than Rachamim necessarily? Elu asara yamin shemei Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom HaKippurim. This refers to the 10 days of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. V'ka'amar, and that very same pasuk says, Ho'el HaKadosh. Therefore, since the pasuk, which glorifies God in the season of Mishpat, which is these 10 days, and glorifies him how? By using what descriptive adjective? Not HaMelech HaKadosh Mikdash Tzedakah, but Ho'el HaKadosh Mikdash Tzedakah. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer concludes that if you omitted HaMelech HaKadosh, but you said Ho'el HaKadosh, Mishtefarlach, not so terrible. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Omar Rabbi Yosef says, Ho'el HaKadosh, my heaven law, what's the bottom line? What should you then say? Omar Rabbi Yosef, Ho'el HaKadosh, U'melech Ho'el Tzedakah U'mishpat. Rabbi Yosef said, you know, I like Rabbi Elazar's argument, and therefore don't make any changes at all. Say Ho'el HaKadosh the entire year, including those 10 days, and don't make any changes for HaMelech HaMishpat. Melech Ho'el Tzedakah U'mishpat is just fine as well. Rabbi Omar, Rabbi says, no, HaMelech HaKadosh, the HaMelech HaMishpat, I insist on what? HaMelech HaKadosh to replace Ha'el HaKadosh, and I insist that HaMelech HaMishpat replace Melech Ho'el Tzedakah HaMishpat. Zehil Chita to Rabba. And the Gemara itself doesn't leave it any shadow of a doubt. It says the halacha is like Rabba. That you're supposed to say HaMelech HaMishpat and HaMelech HaKadosh. End of Gemara. Now we're going to look at Tosafot, who now expands our discussion, and we'll see how our practice deviates from Tosafot and try to understand the bottom line halakha. So I'll give away what is our practice, so you tell me what our practice. If you said HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, what do you have to do? You have to repeat the Shmon Esrei. No matter what you said, you must repeat the entire Shmon Esrei. What happens if you said HaMelech, you didn't say HaMelech HaMishpat, you said Melech Ho'el Tzedakah HaMishpat. The halacha is, you don't have to repeat the Shmon Esrei. So we engage in a split decision, and as we see Tosafot, I will explain why we are more lenient with Melech Ho'el Tzedakah HaMishpat, and why Tosafot will claim that our practice is wrong. Tosafot believes you have to repeat for both omissions. If you said Ho'el HaKadosh, you repeat. And if you said Melech Ho'el Tzedakah HaMishpat, you say Shmon Esrei again. We'll explain what Tosafot is predicated upon. Says Tosafot, it's on the left-hand side of the page. towards the middle of the page, moving down. The caption is the second Tosafot, the Hilchita Kavotei de Rabba. Everybody has it? On the left-hand side, Tosafot, the Hilchita, the Halacha is like Rabba. Says Tosafot, Ditzarich, the Halacha is like Rabba, Ditzarich Lachtol, you must conclude, HaMelech HaKadosh, VeHaMelech HaMishpat. The in lo amar, if you fail to make any of these changes, mach zirim oto, we are obligating you to repeat the Shemona Esrei. That's the first law says. Logically, Tosfos is 100% correct, because Rabba did not make any distinction between one and the other. Rabba said, Zehil Chita. The Gemara says, Zehil Chita to Rabba. The law is like Rabba. It requires a change. So if it requires a change, why do you only make them repeat if you omit one, and you don't make them repeat if you omit the other? So let's focus on this for a minute. If somebody says the wrong text, why would you ask somebody to repeat? Well, what do you think he must repeat the entire Shimon Esrei? Right, you got the whole Shimon Esrei. You said Malchus and Zechronus and Shofar with so much Kavana. And then you realize, that's not what I'm getting. Not that's what it is. What's wrong with it? What are you missing? What are you missing? So apparently the theme that they want to drive home, they want to hammer the message in, that God at this particular time acts not only as a God, Mother Ha'el, that he has certain power. El is denotes a powerful God, who says he can take one? A powerful God. But and Melech is also sometimes something powerful, but nonetheless, Melech is a much more, a much stronger expression than the word Tail. And can you give me examples where tail is used in within our liturgy? We say in Yishtabach every single morning. Baruch Ato Hashem. El Melech Gadol Batish Pachot. El Ahodot, Adon HaMishlaot. So you are the God of praise, El Ahodot, Melech Gadol Batish Pachot. So it means that God is powerful and deserves our praise and recognition, but somehow HaMelech has a much stronger ring to it. If you remember, where do we start? Where does the Chazan, the Baal Shacharit, start chanting the Shacharit service every Shabbat morning? Shochanah. Where does he start on Yom Tov? Ha'el b'tahat l'motu z'echa. And where does he start Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? HaMelech. Right? And if you follow the Nusach, every time the Chazan does Ha'el Melech, there's an emphasis on Malchut. Because Malchuyot is the primary theme of the day. What is the conclusion of the Bracha of Kiddushat Hayom? And that always gives you the theme of what constitutes the essence of the day. The text reads, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. Then the Kadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. So it's done for Kiddush as well. Now, the Chassidim coined that the night of Rosh Hashanah was called Karanat Yenach. You know, the night of the coronation, exactly. The night of coronation, where we come in our Mamluk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Yitzhi Lecha Keter Milucha, V'shin Miloch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, and so on and so forth. Miloch Al Kol HaOlam Kulo B'Shlodecha. Therefore, they feel that this thrust of Malchuyot is so important that it has to be included as part and parcel of the text from Shimon Esrei. And therefore they want to go ahead and say, if you omitted it, you have to repeat the Shimon Esrei. I can understand why they want you to say HaMelech HaMishpat as well. But now let's see, what does the word melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat mean, and in what sense is halelech ha'mishpat a radical change? Okay? Rabotai, I open up the field. What exactly does the phrase mean? We say it every time we daven. Melech ohev tzedakah u'mishpat. What does it mean? Yes? That's the definition that Christ wants to accept. Then, Melech Ohev, Tisha Anachnu Osim Tzedakah U'Mishpat. The God writes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes this, when we take care of law and justice in this world. After all, what is the thrust of the request in the Bracha Shemona? What are we asking for in the Bracha of Hashiva Shofei? The restoration of the Sanhedrin. Please return our judges, Kivali Shaina, the Yoachainu, and our Kivashiwah. And they will engage in judgment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes it, and that's why we're asking him to help facilitate. He loves when there is mishpat, when there is a sense of justice and commitment to justice. Therefore, if on Rosh Hashanah we want to emphasize a different theme, that's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes us when we engage in justice, but during these 10 days, what do we want to emphasize? HaMelech HaMishpat, that God is the king who engages in mishpat. That is a radically different idea than Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Therefore, claims Tosafot that if you said Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat, you communicated the wrong idea during these 10 days, and for this reason, what must you do? Must repeat the Shemona Esrei. In fact, Tosafot's interpretation of the Beracha is borne out by the Ramban's poignant remark in Parshat Shoftim. Those of you who come to the Chumash class should remember this. Commenting in the third pasuk of Parshat Shoftim, Tzedek Tirdo. Why the double expression? Everybody's their own interpretation, says the Ramban. Tzedek Tirdo. You should pursue justice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us. We should judge everybody properly, have societies of law and order. But if not, Tzedek Tirdo. God's justice is going to pursue you, which is far harsher, far more severe than application down on here on earth. So Tosfos recognizes that the ultimate goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that he should implement justice, but he wants that we should implement justice. Therefore, I'm collecting a tshuva when we acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shvodei Atzmai, takes things into his own hands. If you don't say HaMelech HaMishpat, you're communicating the wrong idea. Our practice is predicated upon the fact that they don't accept this interpretation of Melech Ohev Kisha Anachnu Otsin Tzedakah U'Mishpat. They don't like that. They say the objection to that interpretation, we show you, the objection to that is Ha'ikar Chaser Min HaSefer. What does that mean? Ha'ikar Chaser Min HaSefer. This idea that God loves it when we do it is missing from the text. It says Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. To translate it like a very simple person. God, who is king, who loves doing Tzedek U'Mishpat. Is that radically different than HaMelech HaMishpat? Absolutely not. They both refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu engaging in the role engaged in Mishpat. Since this is the translation, therefore, if you failed to make the change, you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Why not? Because basically you said the same thing as HaMelech HaMishpat. It's not as dramatic, not as bold. But you said that God likes doing Tzedakah U'Mishpat. So since, in effect, you articulated the message that they wanted to communicate even during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur time, under those circumstances, what happened? You don't have to repeat this one answer. So in this case, whether you follow Tosafot halakha, that you must repeat the Shmona Esrei, even if you say Hamelech Hoyzakal Mishpat, or you do not repeat the Shmona Esrei. As our practice, the debate, the machloket, revolves around how you interpret the text of the bracha. If you believe it represents something totally, something else, then you're missing the boat for these days, and you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. But if you interpret it in the more traditional sense, that Hamelech, God is the Melech, Shehu Ohev La'asot Tzedakah U'Mishpat, then you haven't really missed the boat, and as a result, it would not be necessary to repeat the Shmona Esrei. In fact, if I can just have you recall something, if you can recall something, and if you don't recall it exactly, you can just trust me on it. All of the piyutim which we recite during Tfilat Musaf, all of the piyutim of praise, Sheva, and praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are all recited before Kedusha. Everyone, with the exception of one, the one that leads into the Chol Ma'amid. That's the only one that's recited afterwards. Every other one is recited before Kedusha. When it's Tana Tokes, it's said before Kedusha. Melech Elyon, Masei Elokeinu, all before Kedusha. Or the only one which is recited after is the Chol Ma'amid, and it's introduced with the following phrase. Be'ein Meiris Yosher, Bo Magipesha, Tazir Liyachom Tavar Chotu Mishpat, Vitzartenu Ba'mishpat, Hamelech HaMishpat, Ha'ochei Tiyad Midas Mishpat. And then you start the Chol Ma'amid, all believe, right? So, under those circumstances, why is that the only one there? Why is that said before? Because the Gemara which we just read said that when are you supposed to acknowledge Hamelech HaMishpat, for the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, just as you're supposed to say Hamelech HaMishpat for the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah, excuse me, Hamelech HaKadosh for the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So Hamelech HaKadosh you say every time you doubt, but Hamelech HaMishpat you only say when you say a weekday Shmona Esrei. When there's enough of Shmona Esrei, you don't say Hashiva Shal Tehna Shivari Shana. So after Kedusha, which is where Hashiva Shal Tehna appears, they snuck in one Kedus with its introduction, Vishat Tehnu Ba'mishpat HaMelech HaMishpat. And if you look in the Siddur, the Master, it instructs the Chazan that he should say in one breath, Vitzatenu Ba'mishpat HaMelech HaMishpat Ho'ochei Ziyad Midas Mishpat. That's the introduction to the Chol Ma'amid. You say it in the same breath. Why? Because the highlight, the reason why this entire piyut is recited, because it takes the place of the recitation of HaMelech HaMishpat, which we're supposed to be saying every day of the Esrei Shemei Teshuva. So that's why it comes in at this particular point in time, but whether you are obligated to repeat the Shmona Esrei or not depends on the two interpretations of the word Melech Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Let's continue with Taisus. Taisus even goes one step further. Zichein, Omrim HaTosafot, Zochreinu, Nikamocha, Uchtov L'chayim, and Basef L'chayim, Machzirim Oto in Lo Amar. If you did not say Zochreinu L'chayim in any day of Shmona Esrei, if you didn't say Nikamocha, or Uchtov, or Basef L'chayim, any day of the Asher Shemei Teshuva, you must repeat the entire Shmona Esrei. Because Hamishane Mimatbeya Shitav Ucha Amin, they know Yotze Yidei Chovato. Anyone who changes the text, Mimatbeya, the coin, literally means a coin, but the text, Shitav Ucha Amin, Anytime anyone changes a text which has been coined by the Chachamim, any and no you'll say they overto. And therefore Tosafot claims it even includes such additions such as saying Nichamocha and Zakhmanulcha. Here once again the halacha is against Tosafot. If you omit any of those four things, you do not repeat the Shmon Esrei. And the reason being that the Gemara never mentioned them in the first place. Nowhere in the Talmud does it say that you're supposed to add these phrases. Does it say it any place? And since they were not mandated by the Talmud, but rather added during the Gaonic era, that's when they were introduced, for this reason, they are not in violation of Mishaneh Mimas Be'ah Shetavu Chachamim. Who are the Chachamim who coined something who we cannot change from the Talmud era? But something added much later is not considered a violation, and therefore we reject Tosafot. We reject Tosafot. In fact, there were many who were troubled with the very addition of these phrases. Tell me why you would object, cite a halakha, as to why you would object to the inclusion of such a phrase. Why do they violate a basic principle in the structure of the Amidah of the Shmona Esrei? Yes?
Yeah. You're using another idea.
That's an idea of psychology.
It's not
Okay. That's perhaps, yes. Even, yeah. That it certainly seems to introduce something that doesn't, is not contained in the body of the bracha. But you didn't just cut for it. Make it even sharper. Tell me what the difference is between the first three and the last three versus the body in the middle. What? In the short essay. First three and last three versus the middle 12. Correct? And what? Bakasha versus Hoda'ot or Sheba. The first three brachot have no request from God. They are descriptions of the praise of God, that God is the Gomer HaKavim Kovim, God is the Konei HaKol, He is the Mashi HaRuach HaMarid HaGeshem, He is the Rosei Kovim, and the Mashi HaKurim, and the Mechai HaMeshem. And all the questions. Right? Therefore, some objected, how can in the middle of the bracha of Avot, suddenly you put in a request? Zachreinu l'chaim is a request. Please remember us. Zachreinu b'sefer ha'chaim. How can you put that to request? Same thing with Rock of Moses, which describes, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for listening to my tefillah. We make a request. U'chisol l'chaim tovim kol b'nei b'richacha. So some objected to the very nature of such an addition, because it seems to be anti the theme, the rule of thumb, that in the midst of brachot, of either shevach or hoda'ah, it's inappropriate to engage in such a discussion. But anyhow, Tosafot didn't consider it much of a violation. Judy, if you were to be operating on your, that any addition is already right, then how would anybody say P.U.T.? Any P.U.T.?
But P.U.T. are not
part of the shot. Right? They're all part, and in fact, in our figure, if you notice, the master has P.U.T.M. in Birchot Kriya Shema too. We don't say that. But they're there. That's an interruption in the middle of Birchot Kriya Shema. So, you know, people don't care. Most tools say something to use
it.
Sure.
Because it's not just saying, like, when we talk about, you know,
Genesis
of God and the sun and the detection and how wonderful, and, you know, the God of war and all
right.
that. Not that kind of just
plain. I hear what you're saying.
It's almost like
but
a continuation of those kind of
right. things. Right, but there is a structure to formulate your request, which is alluded to. There's no doubt. We say God is the Lord, pray, call in, but then we ask.
Later.
But for Angel, we acknowledge that you are the Lord, pray, call in, but...
And then later in
that. Exactly.
But it's almost like this sort of a subtle...
Oh, I
don't think you're continuing that.
No, this point is well taken. No doubt. No doubt. Yeah? Let's continue Tyson. Vita Pasa Rabbeinu Yehuda. And so too, in accordance with the decision that I just outlined, any change or omission, you must repeat the Shemona Esrei. In Sofek Lo Im Omar Im Lo, Machzirin Oto. Not only are you obligated to watch to repeat the Shemona Esrei, if you definitively know that watch, you skip it. But if you are an airhead in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and he has to say, I'm not sure if there's an element of doubt, says the Gemara, says Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yehuda, Machzirin Oto. And it's interesting how he proves it. Kidita, as it is recorded, the Yerushalmi D'Ta'anit Perikama, as it is recorded in the Jerusalem Talmud, not in the Bavli, but here's the first parak of Masechet Ta'anit. What does the Gemara say? Hayam mitpalel ve'eino yodea in his kirtalumata. Right? Somebody saying Shemon Esrei tonight. Right? 21st day of December. He doesn't remember if he said the same talumata or he said the same bracha. So what does the Yerushalmi say? Kol Shloshim Yom Bechezkat Shelo Lamud. The first 30 days after you had the obligation to begin saying the same Talumata, we assume you did not say the same Talumata. Perush Shelo Amar Ela Kimo Shehu Lamud Adata Shelo Amar. What did you do? You said that you formulated the Shemon Esrei based on your tongue. Lamud means the way you train, like a Pavlovian dog. Namely, what? That if you always say the same bracha, the same bracha, the same bracha, you can say the same bracha since Pesach time. Until 30 days have passed. 30 days is enough of a Pavlov reaction that we can assume you now are accustomed to saying the same Talumata Lebracha. That's what the Yerushalmi says in relationship to the same Talumata. In fact, there are many people who do this for practice. What do they do? As on December the 4th, they say it 90 times. So that they get their, what? Because that's 30 days worth. 30 days times 3 times, they get 90 days worth, and they now say it, and therefore the assumption made is, if they, on December the 7th, the only time they will have to repeat the Shemon Esrei is if they know for a fact that they said the same bracha. But if they're in the middle of Smoky Land, in the middle of Lala Land, right? You went to bed, right? Did I say safe? You're safe. You don't have to get up and down miles again. Same thing with the Mashiach, exact same thing. That if you said Mashiach comes Shmini Atzeret, and now you say Mashiach Ruach Amar Nagash, 2 days later, right after Sukkot, I say Masav Ruach and that. I say Mori Rakov, but I say nothing. So the halacha is, you have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. If, however, you daven Nusach Ashana, and you said nothing from after Pesach until Sukkot. If you say, if you practice what Nusach Ashana, I told you when I'm sure the Chayim sent to Rav Moshiach, Mechal Kechayim Bechesed, and now you're obligated to say Mashiv Aruah, for the same rule of one. For the third 30 days, if you are in doubt, you must repeat the Shemon Esrei. After the 30 days, you don't have to repeat the Shemon Esrei. Because we assume that you know you said it properly. But if you daven the Sasharad, and a lot of people daven Ashkenaz also say Merid Atal, so the Halacha is any time during the year. If you say Morid Hatal, you don't have to repeat the Shemon Esrei, because you acknowledge that God is in charge of some form of water provision. How? What's the name of that? So therefore, if you want to protect yourself, always say Morid Hatal during the summer, so then if you forget to say Mashiv Aruach. But here you have that same question. So here, claims Tosis, Achar Kain, after 30 days, the Chezkat Shehizkir. Zehu Hadin L'chol Hadvarim Shitzarich Lazkir Kachadin. And the same thing is true for what? For all of these editions. Not only for St. Talamata Levracha, but even for these editions of Mishma Mocha and so on and so forth. Now, Tosis points out in the sufficiency about making this equation to what? To the St. Talamata Levracha. Because it's only 10 days that you say it. You're not going to have 90 chances to say it at all. So the application of the Yerushalmi in this regard has no application whatsoever. So why are you making a comparison when the cases are not at all identical? That's what Tosfos concludes. What? Correct. So now here, he's coming to the conclusion that I know for a fact that if you weren't sure, you probably did not say Zafayin Olachan. And then you're going to have to repeat the Shemon Esrei. If you're not sure if you said the Sefer Chaim, you're going to have to repeat the Shemon Esrei. Because there is no 90 times. So if a guy wanted to avoid that, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he could practice, he can do that 90 times. And get the 90-day cushion. Even though you're not going to daven 90 times, you can do that yourself, you know. L'man Shemar Yavov is a Chayin Olachayim. L'man Shemar Yavov is a Chayin Olachayim. Do that 90 times, do that. Yeah, all four. And then you can avoid yourself the problem that you already went to sleep. And you know, but we don't worry about this. We don't pass to my type. You don't have to repeat any of this. If you omitted any of these, we don't make you repeat the Shemon Esrei. Any of these four. Correct. Why? Because we don't mandate repetition of things that are not mentioned in the Gemara. Not mentioned in the Gemara. Now, I want to raise a very important issue and see how you would treat this. Anytime there are changes / additions to the text, you can look at them as changes of the text or additions to the text. Changes are worse than additions. Because if something is added to change the text, and it became part of the body of the Shemon Esrei, and now you skip it, that's much worse than skipping an addition to the text. The word addition, by definition, means it's not part and parcel of the text itself. It's an addition. But if you add something to the Shemon Esrei, and it's not identified as an addition, it's now added, this now represents the text of the Shemon Esrei, then if you omit it, it's like skipping anything else in the Shemon Esrei. So let's take Mashiv Aruach for a second, and I'll compare it to something else which Tosfos doesn't mention. Okay? The recitation of Mashiv Aruach HaMoed HaGeshem, according to everybody, is not just an addition. During the winter months, it is part and parcel of the Shemoneh Esrei. You must include, just as you have to describe God as the Machil Asurim and the Mechayei HaMetim and the Rofei Chorim, during the winter months, you must also describe him as the Machil Aruch HaMoed HaGeshem. So somebody said Shemoneh Esrei, and he skipped 10 words of the Shemoneh Esrei. He skipped the words Rofei Chorim, Machil Asurim, Kayem HaNafrish, and Elfar. And yet, and he knows he skipped. Can he repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? Well, of course he should repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Because he skipped the words. Machshav HaRuach HaMoed HaGeshem is not any inferior to Rofei Chorim or Machil Asurim. How about Yahweh the Yoga level time? What would you say about Yahweh the Yoga on Rosh Chodesh? Alan Nisim on Chanukah. Do you believe that when the rabbis mandate that we include Ya'aleh V'yavo in the bracha would say, or Al Hanisim in the bracha of Chayda'ah, Moses, that they are saying that this represents the real text of the Shemoneh Esrei, or are they imposing an addition on the Shemoneh Esrei? What would be your gut feeling, Rabbi Dan? What would be your gut feeling? And not just giving you gut feeling, tell me why your gut are telling you to react in such a fashion. What would you say? Do you think it's part and parcel? What would you think has to happen? Yeah, what would you say?
I'm thinking of this because good. The way that when we ask for the
we're talking about that specific time. The time period. So when it's time on the answer. Can even sharpen? Even sharpen. Does Yahweh Yoga really reflect the theme of Rosh Chodesh? The bracha of Rosh Chodesh, what is the bracha of Rosh Chodesh asking for? For the restoration of what Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. That's what it says. So Hashem is the and let God treat our tzivot, utzivatan, shidim, yitkubam, as if we do not call God. What's that do with Yahweh the other side? It's Chodesh. What's that?
Because we just can't have any, everything that's been discussed is determined by the Chodesh.
Okay, but the focus of Ritzay is to that our Kodesh Baruch Hu should accept our Tzilo. Ritzay, Hashem Elokeinu, Zachat Utzilacham. Bitzilacham, the equivalent of a Korba. That's what it's a bracha is. So, you know, it's the most, many claim, Chaim believes, that a Shemoneh Esrei without the Yahweh V'yavo is really a Shemoneh Esrei. Oh, hold on. Shemoneh Esrei without Yahweh V'yavo is a Shemoneh Esrei. Okay? And here comes the real litmus test. Listen to this. This is mental gymnastics, but it's important. Listen carefully. Ladies and ladies, if Rosh Chodesh is on a Friday, are you supposed to say Yahweh V'yavo at Mincha? You forgot to say Yahweh V'yavo in Mincha. And now it's nighttime. What do you do when you don't daven Mincha at all on Friday afternoon? You forgot to daven Mincha. What do? Daven Maariv twice. Shabbat Maariv twice. Even though the Mincha which you missed was a weekday Shemoneh Esrei, you daven Maariv twice. Now I crystallize my question. If you say Shemoneh Esrei and you omit Yahweh V'yavo, is it called a Shemoneh Esrei but you miss the addition? Or if you consider Yahweh V'yavo an integral part of Shemoneh Esrei, so if you omit Yahweh V'yavo, what do we consider that? I didn't have Mincha. So now here comes the difference. If you believe that a Shemoneh Esrei without Ya'aleh V'yavo is called a Shemoneh Esrei. Because the Ya'aleh V'yavo is only an addition, but it's not an integral part of the text. So now, it's Friday afternoon, I forgot to say Alvia. Now I'm going to daven Maariv. Why would I want to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei again? In the repetition of, if I say Maariv again, am I going to make up the Alviyavo, which I've omitted? Because it's not the Kaddish anymore. So I'm not going to say Alviyavo Shmoneh Esrei. So why bother saying Shmoneh Esrei again? But if you believe that Ya'aleviyavo is an integral part of the Shmoneh Esrei, and that I was Kaddish, the rabbis changed the text of the Bracha of Rishay. It's considered part of the text. So if you skip any part of the text, which you skip as if you didn't doubt. Now what's the rule if you forgot to daven mincha? You say not, it's fine. Reb Chaim was of the opinion that a Shmona Esrei without the Aleph Yavo is a Shmona Esrei. And the Ikal Hadid, you don't have to repeat the Shmona Esrei. I shot for it, but I also did it. Because you just omitted something. But you did not fundamentally change the text. The halacha is against Reb Chaim. The halacha is that if you omit Ya'aleh Yavol Shmoneh Esrei, it's as if you didn't daven, and you have to repeat it. And therefore, in our test case, if you forgot Ya'aleh Yavol in Mincha or Kaddish was on a Friday, Shabbat Maariv twice. Because the omission of Ya'aleh Yavol is simply as if you didn't daven. Why is it as if you didn't daven? Because you skip part of a bracha. And when you skip part of a bracha, we legally, halachically consider it as if you didn't say the bracha at all. So you didn't daven. So all these additions to the text, each one of them has to be examined. And whenever you say there's a change text, you have to sit back and ask yourself, is the change text now a change in the primary text? This is now the new text? Or do we say no? The text, biblical ma'omed, remains exactly the way it was. But there's an addition. To omit an addition doesn't mean you change, you did not. So there are no set rules how to make that determination. Each case is examined independently, and even within some cases there is matters of dispute, like everything else in this world, matters of dispute. In relationship to these four items, Zachreinu, Nikamocha, and so on and so forth, everyone on the planet, Halacha believes that there are additions to the text. Except for this one Tosafot. No one agrees with the Tosafot that we read. It's not the Rambam, nobody. The Rush, everybody else says that these are additions to the text. And if they're additions, an omitted addition, additions doesn't have to make you, doesn't mandate repetition of the entire Shmoneh Esrei. Changes in a text make you repeat. If you change a text, but omitted additions do not require, and every posek disagrees with Tosfos in this regard, and Limma Aser, there is nobody who follows Tosfos' opinion, that in the absence of these, that if you omit any of these four things, that you are obligated to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. No one follows that. Look back in the Gemara, but conclude with a very important Agadic statement, once again made by Rabbi Bar Chanina Saba, Mishnei Derav, in the Bet. It's got nothing to do with world learning, but they're quoting a series of halachot, but it's a very important one. Kol she'efshar lo levakesh rachamim al chavei rohu ve'eino mevakesh nikra chote. Anybody who has the ability, the possibility, someone is in need, somebody is sick, and you have the capacity to be mevakesh rachamim, and you choose not to do so, you are called a sinner. Shene'emar, as it is written, Shmuel, Gam anochi, chalila li mechato l'Hashem. God forbid will I transgress and sin against God, mechado lihitpaler ba'atem, by refusing or being reluctant to what? To engage in tefillah on your behalf. Amar Rava, in Talmid Chacham hu, tzarich tshiyech le'atmo alav. If what? If the person who is ill is a Talmud Chacham, it's not enough that what? That you are mezakeh rachamim. You have to be so involved that it's as if you're getting sick on his account. You have to really empathize and get emotionally involved with such a person. This halakha of being mezakeh rachamim al chavero plays a major role in Rishonim thinking as to how one goes about praying. Because the Gemara tells us that if I have a family member who is ill, so obviously I would like to want to be mevakesh rachamim for my family. But if I formulate my tefillot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of someone else who is a cholah first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will be responded to first. Hu ne'eneh tefillah. Kol ha-mezakeh rachamim al chavero. Ve'hu tzarich le'oto davar. And in before formulating your own personal request, what do you do? You formulate that request on behalf of someone else, Baruch Hu immediately is willing to grant you a more positive, affirmative response before anybody else. Yes?
That's quite different than saying it's a person. It's a person much stronger formulation than that.
Correct. This is...
One is being, it's a methodology.
Right.
Correct.
You know about somebody who's ill, and you don't bother taking the 3 minutes to be responsive. The Gemara says, yes, it's not just that you fail to do a mitzvah, you are 100% correct. The Gemara is identifying you as a cruel sinner. And the Gemara proves it from the text. What, the prophet quoted Shmuel, what did Shmuel say? Mechato, exactly. Gam anochi chalila mechato l'Hashem. That if you don't go ahead and petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of someone else, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that a sin against him. Why do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers it a sin against him if we don't, are not mitpalel on behalf of someone else? Why not? Because what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to do? He wants us to be his shliach. Exactly. If God wanted us to rely on him exclusively, then there's no necessity to take any initiative on our part. And don't think that there weren't those who believed. There is a major discussion amongst Rishonim and philosophers of medieval ages, are you allowed to go to a doctor? They might say, you're allowed to go to a doctor. Many of you say, you're not allowed to go to a doctor. Because by going to a doctor, you're undermining your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because who made you sick? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the praise of God, and that's it. So the Ramban writes, the only ones who go to doctors are non-believers. People who are not strong enough to maintain their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they go to doctors. Right? He was a doctor. He was. But that doesn't mean that he was there for the weak ones. He was there to service the weak ones. But in theory, not everyone agrees with him. We don't agree with the Ramban today. But in the times of where did they tell people to go? Not to the doctor, but where should you go? Go to the Navi and ask the Navi, what's wrong? Why am I getting sick? What happened to me? So, but we reject that. We believe that it's man's obligation to do everything to remedy illness, crisis, and if you do everything and you fall short, that's when you place the Siyata Vishmai. So part of the effort, part of the initiative that man must undertake is that he has to be the sparrow on behalf of someone else. And it's considered wrong, at least in the eyes of Shmuel, tied to the eyes of Abraham, who sees people in Sodom, Ra'im, Zechata'im, Lashem Ma'od, and nonetheless, he feels that he has to be mitpalel on their behalf. So, again, this halacha has absolutely nothing to do with the previous halacha. Just as the previous halacha has to do with the other. But it's the same, Rav Shimon Saba, Rishmei the Rav, and therefore the Gemara decided to quote it here, but a very important halacha. Okay, we'll stop here, and we will continue next class with the next Mishnah. This is the last Mishnah of the first parak, Maskirin Yitzhak Mitzrayim Balelah.